It's great to be here. I just came back from Ontario for 2 weeks. I just had a family Christmas, did our thing out there. And one night I'm watching Charlie Brown's Christmas, okay? And so that day I'm actually studying for this sermon, this passage. So I'm in Luke chapter 2 and I'm just like diving into it. Like I'm really trying to like, God, how can I show people how you came to this earth, what this means, how you bring us back. So I'm just really into this mode. So I'm watching Charlie Brown, really thinking hard. And all of a sudden, Charlie Brown quotes this passage that I'm in. And I'm like, yes, Charlie Brown gets it. And I love it, man, because he's got his little tree. And then you hear, unto you this day is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so I'm excited. And then all of a sudden, I mean, I can't do his voice, but he says this. Linus is right. I won't let all this commercialism ruin my Christmas. I literally got out of my seat. Was like, no, Charlie, you're missing the point. How do you get commercial? What? No, Charlie, like, here, it would be kind of funny if they ended like Charlie Brown with, and Charlie Brown gave his life to Christ, right? That would be kind of funny. But, so then I'm in Walmart that same night getting a present for my dad. And like, I'm still in this mode where like, I'm just wanting people to get this Christmas message. I kind of look like Gollum because I'm doing this. Listen, listen. And people are just like, oh, look at these jeans. Do they look good on me? I'm like, no, they're Walmart jeans. They don't look good on anyone. Please. Like, listen to the words because there's this beautiful Christ-stirring song on and they're missing it. Man, even today I was walking through the market and it's like, Christ is born. Everyone's just like, meat. And like, I'm just like, no, meat. Christ is meat. Okay, anyways. Why am I telling you this? Because I'm excited. Like, I have all this angst that I feel God's laid on my heart tonight to share with you why he came. I mean, it's an unbelievable, epic reality that we celebrate the coming of God. And whether you're a Christian or not in here, you got to do something with Jesus, right? You got to do something with the man who's historically born, says he's God, does miracles, dies on the cross, rises again. I mean, you got to do something with that. I mean, even historically, no one is more famous than Jesus. Like, more songs have been sung about him, art made of him, books written about him than anyone ever. Like, he is so important to the history of the world that we literally mark our calendars by him, right? Before and after Christ. No army, no nation, nothing has changed human history to the degree that Jesus has. Napoleon, I got some history facts here. Napoleon says this about Jesus. I know men, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is no mere man. Between him and every other person in the world, there's no possible term of comparison. Listen to what he says. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have founded empires, but on what did we rest the creation of our genius? Upon force. Jesus Christ founded his empire on love, and at this hour, millions of men would die for him. Okay, so here's what I want to do in the next 15 minutes. I want to literally show you why this celebration is life-changing and so wondrous. And so in order to do that, we need to fly through the entire Bible. And then I want to land in Luke chapter 2. And then I want to talk to you about why is it good news, right? So we celebrate the gospel, but why is it good news that we're forgiven? Like, I want to go there, and then I just want to end, and we'll stand again, and we'll just sing, okay? So that's what we're doing. I'm excited. Let me pray, and we're going to go. Genesis 1, whole Bible. All right, I need help. Okay, Jesus, thank you, God, that you're real. God, thank you for bringing everyone here tonight, and I just ask that you would speak through me. Lord, I pray that you'd show us you. God, I pray if there's someone in here who's just seeking or doesn't know you, God, that you'd really show them you. So we just give this to you. God, I know if I'm not abiding in you, we can do nothing. So just pray for your help. Love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, ready? So Genesis chapter 1. Let's go. God creates the world. Okay, right away you open the Bible, you're going to see God creating the world. He just speaks and things happen to being. So in 6 days, God's just like, sun, like stars, universe, mountains, birds, like out of nothing, God's just speaking and all these things are coming to be. And every day God's like, this is good, this is good. He's just speaking, creating, good, this is good, this is good. And then the rhythm stops and God does something that he's never done before. He, out of his hands and his breath, creates Adam. And then out of Adam, Eve. And he's never done this before with anything else he's created. What he does is he speaks to them. He's never done that before. Why? Why does God speak to them? Well, God made Adam and Eve to be dependent on, find life in, direction from, the fullness of all there is to have to be in Him. They were created by God, for God. That's our design. So there's this beautiful fullness. Like, there's no lack. There's no need. There's no want. There's life and life to the full. I mean, things tasted as they were supposed to taste. They smelled as they were supposed to smell. There was no shame, guilt, sin. Every physical and spiritual need was met fully. There's no disease to be feared. There's no anxiety, unfed stomachs. Man, everything is good between us and God. It's this beautiful communication of love. There's no struggle with identity. People loved and worshiped and obeyed God as they were designed to be. And it's what the Bible calls shalom. Like, it's just this peace. And most of you, if you've been going to church at all, know this story. God says, look, have all of this. All of this was designed so that through these things you would find your fullness in me, because I'm the giver of them. And he says, but don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And listen, they don't. Like, he is enough for them until another voice enters in, distorts what God said, and then boom. You know the story? Sin enters into the world, absolutely fractures the entire fabric of how things are. It just is broken. So now every word, every deed, every thought is just sinful. It's fractured. It's just absolutely in shatters. Work's going to be hard. Relationships are going to be broken. It breaks the union with our right standing with God. So no longer is that beautiful shalom. But now, literally, everyone in here and everyone who's born is born spiritually, the Bible says, dead. So that every person is born in a sin nature, which means you sin because that's the nature you were born with. And here's the thing I want to say to you tonight. That nature of sin is born with a heart of self-worship, self-absorption, and the delusion of self-sufficiency. So listen, there's no harmony anymore. People are now accusing, they're deceiving, they fight for control. Even the good that God's grace is on the earth is fractured. So you still have love, but it's not love like it was in Eden. Rather than, okay, loving people and using things to express it, people loved things and used people to get them those things. Just read it, read after Genesis, read what happens. It's broken. There's no fullness with God. In three chapters later, God's going to sum it up like this. Look at the screen. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become. And listen, the thought of every inclination of the thought of his heart was only evil all the time. Merry Christmas, right? But honestly, isn't this how? But this is all you got to do is, like, if you got an iPhone right now, just go to CNN.com. All you got to do is turn on the news and you're going to see there's something wrong. It's not how God designed this universe to be. Like in 2004 at Christmas this time, we even saw a huge wake-up call in Asia, right? Even the earth is broken and waiting. So here's why I'm telling you this on Christmas Eve. I'm telling you this because this is the good news. God ushers in. God, okay, I'm going to walk you through the entire Bible already. God absolutely, relentlessly in love with his creation begins to set in motion a plan to save. Grace is on the move. So follow me here. Right after that sin happened in Genesis 3, God says this to Satan. Ready? He says this: I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He, Jesus, shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Okay, so look at me. In that moment, God just set in motion a plan to save. He just said, there will be a Messiah born of a woman, and he will knock you down. Hope is present. It's on the move. Okay, so then God, right from the beginning in Genesis, just starts saving, right? So all the way from the call of Abraham to the liberation of Exodus to the provisions of the wilderness, God is making a way for his people to be right with him. Right? Sacrifice after sacrifice, God is saying, I love you, come back to me. Here's what will make me right with you. He's saving them, always, always pointing to the coming of Jesus. Always. So he's pointing to them, hey, I'm restoring shalom. Come, right? So listen, this is what the whole Old Testament is about. It's all about forwarding, pointing to Jesus who's going to restore that. So listen, from King David to Solomon to what we're studying in Samuel, all of it points ahead. Isaiah, I love this. I'm really excited. Isaiah says 700 years before Christ is born. We can read it together, actually. Says this. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. So even 700 years ago, and the cool thing is I was just in Toronto, and they had Isaiah sitting in the Qumran caves in one of their museums. This passage, Isaiah, 700 years before Christ, says, born of a virgin, God's on the move, okay? So all the way from Jeremiah to Amos to, man, the preaching of John the Baptist, it leads up to this epic night where God enters into humanity. Okay, so the reality that we are in, that we just took a breath in, it's a story not about us, but it's about a redeemer. Okay, so we've been reading through Luke all night. I mean, it's awesome. Like, I love how it says the decree went out so that Joseph and his family had to move to Bethlehem. In Micah 5:2, it says that the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. I mean, it's just God aligning things up to bring him in. So literally, I want to pick it up with verse 6. If you have your Bible, great. Luke chapter 2, verse 6. But I'm going to read verse 6. I want to pick it up here. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, Mary, to Jesus, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. I just love that. Like, I honestly, sometimes when you read the Bible, you're like, little details are just fun, right? So there's no room in for the inn, which means God either Priceline was full or he forgot to book the hotel, right? No. I love it because what it's showing us is how God's ministry is going to work. I mean, it honestly would have been more effective, I think, meant, like, if you're, like, think about this with me. This is why the scriptures are so real. You wouldn't write this as a human being. If you're going to come and enter into humanity and say, I'm God, I've come for you, I love you, I'm here to save, you're not just going to go to shepherds, right? You're going to go to Rome, you're going to go to like the synagogues, like the Vatican, you're going to come in with the angels and be like, God is here! But I mean, where does he send the angels? Shepherds, right? Like, could you imagine being the angel? Okay, where are we going? Jesus, ready? I got my sword, you don't need the sword, all right. What are we doing? Well, we're going to go to the shepherds, I'm coming. What? Shepherds? Yeah, shepherds. Why? Here's what I want to say. All throughout his life, he enters in the brokenness of sin in humility. He serves. He heals. That's God. Okay, so let's keep going because he's going to bring in the good news. So he goes to the shepherds. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, who is Christ, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, man, could you just like sometimes when you're reading this, like imagine being there. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. So this is it. Stay with me. This is the long expected Savior. This is God entering in. Fueled by his grace and love, God enters into our world fully as one of us to represent us so that he can remove, now follow me here, that which separates us from him, from fullness. When that fracture happened, our relationship with God was broken. And because of sin, God's perfectly holy. He has to deal with it. And so what Jesus comes is he removes those obstacles that separate us from him. Because why? We're created for him. So God removes our sin and he removes the wrath that our sins deserve by sending his son, Jesus, fully God, fully man, as a full representation. So Jesus lives this perfect life that we were designed to live. He goes to a cross and he dies. Why? Why does he die? Because in that death, your sins and my sins were placed upon him and God was punished in our place for our sin. That's the good news. And then 3 days later, he rises again. He defeats Satan, sin, death, hell. He just wins. And in that moment, he gives us his righteousness, the Bible says, so that through faith in that, we can be forgiven, accepted, adopted, and infinitely loved by God, who, listen, begins to restore that brokenness. And I love what the angels say, because they remind us of who the story is about. Glory to God in the highest. It's about him. And peace on earth, that word peace is the same word shalom. It's beautiful. Okay. I want to talk to you here about the gospel because I think it's so easy for us to be like Charlie Brown and people who shop at Walmart. we can hear this message and then not be stirred and do nothing. So I want to talk to you about this. Why is it good news? Like chat with me for a second. Why is it good news that you're forgiven? Like, why is that great news? Is it because maybe, we'll get to see our loved ones one day. We'll get to go to heaven. One day there'll be no more pain, no more suffering. That God's kingdom's going to help liberate the oppressed through us servants. Is it because, we're going to have hope for today, or we have now a system or principles of just how to live life better? Is it because, God just loves us and he's going to provide? Or is it because maybe through being Christians and being lined up to God, we'll have a deeper community? Okay, listen, all those are true. All those are great things, but that's not the good news. Verse 15 says this, when the angels went away from them into heaven. I love, that's where they live. Love that. The shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste. Okay. If that's you, like if that was me, I'd just be bailing. I'd be like, move sheep. Like I would just be running, right? Cause I just can't wait to see the coming of God that I've been waiting for. Okay. So when they saw it, they made it known to the saying. They made it known to Mary. Jump to 20 with me. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Okay, what did the shepherds see? They didn't see a system or ideas. They didn't see a religion. They didn't see a religious experience. They didn't see a how to live life better. They saw a baby. Like a baby, a crying, noisy, getting hungry. It's real, simple, complete. It's gonna teeth soon. Baby. There's no glowing halo, right? They saw a person. They saw a redeemer. Guys, the good news is that we get God. The good news is God. God is the gospel. He's the good news. What Jesus does is he brings us back to God, which is where life and fullness and all there is to have is found. Look at this. 1 Peter 3:18 says this. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. See that? 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Look at this one. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. The next verse, not up there, says this. Why? So that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Okay, so like I said in the front, God creates us, wires us for him. And what Jesus does is he removes those obstacles, our sin, his wrath, so that we can enjoy him forever, which is what you were created for. Okay? That's why you have longings and nothing satisfies. You just kind of keep feeling like you're going to hit something. That's why you say, well, hey, you know what? Like in 5 years, this would be success for me. So you get there and it still doesn't work because those things were never designed to find fullness. God gives us those things to find him in. We're created and designed by him for him. That's what Jesus does. He brings us to a person, a real person. Okay, so this Christmas, I just want to challenge you. Celebrate this. Celebrate that God brings us to God. Eat with your family. Open presents. I love presents. Open them. Drink eggnog, shrimp rings. Enjoy it all. But make knowing him the greatest gift you can give someone and occupy your heart with this Christmas. I challenge you to do that. Like verse 19 says that Mary treasured these things in her heart. Look, I don't know if you know him today. Like I don't. But if you feel this, like this is it. Like this is what you're created for. It's me. I love you. I want to work in you. Put your faith in me. I died for you. I love you. I'm going to remove these sins and we're just going to begin to work. You're accepted. Just listen, if you feel that, do it tonight. God can change you right now in your seat. Completely take your sin away. It's awesome. I mean, I love that. Like, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not. Why? Because God removes those things. We don't perish. We have eternal life. And then in John 17, he's going to say, I'm eternal life. It's amazing. Okay. I want to leave you with this. Jesus rose again. He's in heaven right now. He's literally like reigning and ruling over all creation. Let's celebrate this. Like, just really celebrate this. So if you've been kind of not walking with God in the last, maybe you've, I mean, I don't know where you're at, but come back to him, to a person. It's not a religion. It's not this kind of system or like, it's a person and his name is Jesus. Okay, let me pray. Jesus, thank you, God, that you're real. Thank you that we, God, through you can be made right with you. Thank you, God, that you restore the shalom. God, I just praise you for this truth. God, that I celebrate right now that my sins are forgiven because of Jesus. I love that, God. I thank you for it. I pray for everyone in here, God, that thank you for bringing them in here. God, I pray you bless their Christmas. Bless them. God, show them you more and more. We love you. God, I thank you for this great truth that you came. You didn't just leave us. That God, right from the beginning, you set in motion a plan to save. And I love you, God. You're amazing. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.